I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello. Welcome back to Killer Cuties Podcast.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. We're recording this on a Tuesday, too.
We have been.
I know. Tuesdayception.
Not like the same Tuesday, obviously.
Different Tuesdays.
Different Tuesdays.
But Tuesdays not the last.
Yeah, it's Tuesday. We're here to talk about our May 2025 new release, Clown in a Cornfield.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah, but first, news. Last week, we shared the trailer for Together, a new horror movie starring IRL couple Allison Brie and Dave Franco. Well, this week, Deadline reported a new copyright infringement lawsuit being levied against Michael Shanks, the writer-director, Allison Franco, who both also produced the film, Neon, and WME, Shanks' rep. Lawsuit claims that Together is a ripoff, a blatant ripoff, it says, of a 2023 indie horror film called Better Half, which is the debut film of writer-director Patrick Henry Phelan. The suit says that the overall premise, as well as, wait for it, the general plot, themes, characters, dialogue, mood, setting, pace, and order of operations are all taken directly from Better Half.
Damn.
Yeah, WME is the only defendant of the 455 who's released a statement, and they, like they always do, called the suit frivolous. It's looking for both damages and an injunction, which would basically halt the film's production and release. So we'll see. It's already done, as far as
I know. I did read that. Kind of sucks because I did watch the trailer after we talked about it last episode. Kind of looks gas, not going to lie. But when I read that, I was, I don't know. At first, I think my initial reaction was, okay, cool. Like that happens so often, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And it's like, then you see the lawsuit and it's actually like the bare minimum of similarities that it doesn't really add up.
Sure.
But the thing that kind of got me was that they say that, like, I think Allison Brie and Dave Franco were presented the script. So, like, they had seen it previously. That's what I read. That they were, like, presented with the project Better Half.
I think know what you're talking about. I think I know what you're talking about. And they were actually shown the script of Together in 2020. And they didn't want to do it unless they could be producers.
Oh,
and that's why it took so long. So I think that the point of them saying that in the article, well, I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I think the point of them saying that in the article was that they had already seen the script for Together before this other movie had even come out.
Got it. Okay. That makes more sense. Because I was like, that's pretty damning if they saw the other movie's script and then all of a sudden came out with a movie exactly like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they saw
it. But then that feels less damning then if they already had the script and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah. I'm going to read the whole suit. I love falling asleep reading lawsuits. It's one of my favorite things to fall asleep to. So I will do that. I'll read it and I will get back to you on how similar I think it is.
Great. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Also, how would they know? They haven't seen Together.
Well, didn't it premiere at a festival already?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Or did I make that up?
No, it probably did. You're right.
Okay. That's how I would assume.
Yeah. What have you got?
I also, from Deadline, have a report. So they have reported that the filmmaking brothers Michael and Peter Spyrig are going to be making an adaptation of the Headless Horseman mythology. Yeah, the brothers have already previously worked on multiple horror projects, such as Daybreakers, Jigsaw, and Winchester. So hopefully it's in good hands. They, you know, they know their way around a horror film, I guess. But it's going to be a contemporary setting, and it's going to be titled Headless. The synopsis reads, a rudderless hitchhiker and a driven woman avenging her family's death must stop a motorcycle-riding semi-immortal ghoul that feeds off of carnage it causes on desert highways by decapitating it and getting its head far enough away, long enough, from its relentless, pursuant, still-living body.
That was a lot of words.
That was a lot of words. I think they have to, like, decapitate it and keep the head away, and that's the plot.
Okay.
That's what I got from that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sure.
Won't be as good as Suspiria. The new one. The decapitation.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? What are we relating back here?
Never mind. Okay, I have a little sad one. I'm nestling the sad one in between happier ones. I'm sandwiching them. This one's especially sad because I have met him and he is just the sweetest guy. Was the sweetest guy. Morris, the alligator from Happy Gilmore, Interview with a Vampire, Blues Brothers, and both alligator movies, among many, many others, has passed away. He was a resident at Colorado Gator Farm, which is where I met him, where he retired after starring in numerous films between 1975 and 2006. They estimated him to have been between 80 and 100 years old at the time of his death last week. Yeah, he was an old man.
He was. He lived a long, star-studded life.
Yeah. Yeah, he was very well taken care of and very well loved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, take it away.
Thank you. Neon has released a teaser poster for Alpha, which is the upcoming film from Julia Ducournau. You might remember her from our episode way back on Raw, French film.
Oh, yeah.
Cannibals.
Yeah. Uh-huh. People Chelsea eating did. People.
People eating people. Your favorite thing, except not that movie.
No.
Yeah, you didn't like it in that one. Unfortunate. Anyway, she also did Teton, which we haven't covered yet, but we absolutely will. The poster shows two people embracing. One of them has the letter A carved into their arm. So already kind of, yeah, it's kind of giving off that, kind of giving off the body horror vibe that she does so well. Producers have already said that Alpha is her most personal, profound work yet, and they're looking forward to sharing the story with as much excitement as they had. And it's set to be released this fall, so exciting if you're a fan of her work.
Cool.
As I am.
Very exciting. Last one for me. Universal Horror Unleashed is the new permanent Halloween Horror Nights in Las Vegas. It's home to 4 year-round haunted houses. It's opening in just a few short months on August 14th. They released a sneak preview of the house based on the 1970s Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You get to enter the farmhouse and you're pursued by Leatherface as part of the plot, which is followed linearly through the movie's storyline. So you literally walk through the plot of the 1970s film, the original film.
Got it. Okay.
Sounds really exciting. Looks really cool. The design and the production and the costumes are all very good. And then if you're curious, the other three houses are Exorcist Believer, Scarecrow the Reaping, and Universal Monsters, which we've seen one of.
We have.
We've seen a Universal Monsters.
Yeah. Which makes sense. They usually do something like that.
Yeah.
For their horror nights. So would make sense that they already have the stuff to put that into a permanent residency.
Yeah. And how fun for the scare actors that usually only get to work on Halloween, and now they get to be scare actors all year round.
Well, in other Texas Chainsaw Massacre news, funnily enough, Gun Interactive has announced that after this month's patch, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game will be fully realized and will not be receiving any future content or support. So no more DLCs, updates, or bug patches in the future. It's sad news for people who were fans of the games. Probably not that surprising, since the same thing happened to the Evil Dead game and the Friday the 13th game. But they said that the game's still going to stay online, so you can still play with other people. There just won't be any updates to it. It's not going to get delisted, so you can still buy it if you want it. But yeah, they said that they were going to be moving on with their next project, which a lot of people then in the comments said, well, why would we buy that because of what happened to this? Which you can't really blame them for saying. Can't really blame them for asking. So.
Yep.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. Damn, too bad.
Yeah. Asymmetrical horror games just don't last long.
Yeah. Yeah, Dead by Daylight's the exception, the only exception.
I know, and even that, like, do people still play that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to pick it up again just for fun to support Matthew Lillard, because he's going to be in it.
That's true. He is coming in. I'm probably not, but all love to you, Matthew.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I just can't do that to my mental health again.
That game is something.
Yeah.
It was fun for a while.
It was. Back in the day. Back in my day, DVD was fun.
Yeah. Oh. Back many days ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you missed on news. Horror news. But now let's talk about Clown in the Cornfield.
Okay.
Again, it is our May 2025 new release movie. We do one every month. It's based on the 2020 TikTok viral novel by Adam Caesar. Looking for a fresh start, Quinn and her father move to the quiet town of Kettle Springs. They soon learn the fractured community has fallen on hard times after losing a treasured factory to a fire. As the locals bicker amongst themselves and tensions boil over, a sinister, grinning clown emerges from the cornfields to cleanse the town of its burdens, one bloody victim at a time. Thank you, Google. This is a Shudder film directed by Eli Craig and co-written by both Craig and Carter Blanchard. It had a neat little $1 million budget and has made almost $4 million at the box office in its first 4 days in theaters. It has a 6.2 out of 10 on IMDb, a 2.9 out of Letterboxd, and a 74% critics and 63% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. We guessed what we thought the scores were going to be between when they started coming in a few, maybe like 2 weeks ago, and now, and we were all over the place. You guessed all over the place. Don't give me that look.
I was only four off from the audience score.
Yeah, but collectively, I did a better job than you. Okay, so you guessed 22% below the critic score and only 4% below the audience, and I guessed 15% below the critics and 6% above the audience.
Okay. Yeah.
So collectively, I was 21% off, and you were 26% off, so thank you.
I underestimated the critics, for sure. I did not think that they had fun.
No. I
That's my bad.
Yeah.
I apologize, critics.
We were playing off the assumption that the people that wanted to see the movie had seen it by that point, and that's why their ratings were so high.
Yeah.
It was a safe assumption.
And also true. Wasn't it like in the 90s at that point?
80s, yeah. I think it was in the 80s. 80,
okay. It was pretty high when it first premiered.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Like, you know, you're going to go see it if you want to watch Clown in the Cornfield.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only difference about this one is that we had the book for context. People liked the book. So they should have liked the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when it's already got fans.
Yeah.
It should say something.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But that's okay. We did our best.
We did. And also, I think I'd rather go into a movie with low expectations.
Sure.
Because sometimes you go into a movie with high expectations, and that doesn't help the movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad I went into this knowing basically nothing other than that it was a book at one point.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of the funny scenes were, like, a lot of the good scenes were spoiled by the trailer. I found out in hindsight, because I watched the trailer today. Oh,
interesting. I didn't watch the trailer.
Yeah, I just watched it today because it was part of a lot of the video interviews. They include the trailer. I didn't watch it. A lot of the good stuff, a lot of the funny dialogue was included in the trailer, and it wouldn't have been as funny or good.
Yeah.
Had I. Yeah. Anyway.
It's fair. I saw an interview where they were talking about the expectations that they kind of build on purpose with a book and a movie like this. So with the book, they kind of use like a Stephen King-esque font on it. It's, you know, clown in a cornfield. There's a clown's face made out of corn, like all of that kind of stuff. And so they said all of that kind of worked in tandem to make you think of certain things, right? So you're thinking of Stephen King, you're thinking of Children of the Corn, you're thinking of Pennywise. And that makes you think it's going to be supernatural because that's what all of that kind of stuff is. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought. That's what I thought it was going to be about an actual killer clown, because that's what a lot of killer clown things are about.
Well, it was. So the fact that it was about a killer clown, to be clear.
It was, but not in the way that we were thinking. It's more a slasher who's under the mask type of whodunit.
Yeah.
And yeah, Adam Caesar had said, why did I say it like the dog whisperer? Caesar? Caesar?
His name is Caesar too. Caesar Milan.
That's true. Anyways, yeah, he said that that was kind of done on purpose because they wanted to subvert those expectations. He says within the first 10 pages of the book, it's like, no, it's a whodunit. That's what this story is. That's not true. I've read the book. You don't know in the first 10 pages that it's not supernatural. Well, just to be clear.
He probably didn't literally mean 10 pages. How long did it take?
Like over halfway through.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. When they unmask the first clown. That's when you realize. Although it's kind of like, you kind of get the vibes that it's not when he comes out with a crossbow. But
yeah, I would assume.
That's a little hint. But even still, that's like a little over halfway through.
Yeah. It was all very Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
I liked that about it.
Yeah.
Fun little Scooby.
Yeah.
Eli Craig said in several interviews that he was trying to really balance the horror tone with the comedy tone, because obviously we know him from Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Mm-hmm.
We did an episode on that, right? I've seen it.
Yeah, we did an episode on it.
Yeah. Okay. He wanted this one to be more horror forward. I didn't get that vibe at all. I thought it was funny the whole way through, but yeah.
Yeah. I read an interview where he said going into this movie, he was thinking, all right, I'm going to dial it back to like 25-30% comedy, you know?
Yeah.
Like, really got to dial that back. And then when the screening started happening and everybody was laughing throughout the whole thing, he was like, okay, so next time I dial it back to 10% because clearly it wasn't enough.
Yeah. It was definitely more horror or more comedy forward for sure. Though I was the only person having a really good time in my theater. Granted, there were only two other families there. It was just me and then annoyingly, I think we've had this discussion before. I sit in the back row in the middle because there's a pole there to like keep people from walking in front of the thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's only two seats next to you, so nobody's going to sit next to you, theoretically. The only other two families were directly in front of me and to my right, which is obnoxious because if they were just right in front of me, I couldn't see their phones, but they were to the right. And I could see their phones. And then on my left, in the three seats to my left.
They had their phones out?
Yeah.
You didn't say anything?
No.
Oh, I'm that person.
I mean, I did too, but I sit in the back so that I could have my phone out and not disturb anyone.
I would never have my phone out. But I would absolutely say, I have said something to people. That's like the one thing that like I'll be a bitch about.
The only time I've ever said anything to anybody in a theater was because she wouldn't shut the fuck up. She kept commentating on it. So I took out Snapchat and I took just a black picture. You couldn't see anything, just a black picture. And I wrote, shut the fuck up.
that was acceptable. Which is, I don't do it in a mean way. Like, I'll just be like, hey, can you put your phone away, please? Like.
Oh, no. I'll
do that.
I'd rather die.
Anytime someone does it and I can see their phone, I'll do it.
But that's how I take notes.
It's fucking rude.
I take notes on my phone. So I sit in the back. Nobody can see me. I got my phone all the way on dark. And then every 10 minutes or so, I take it out, take a note, put it back.
No.
I would never do it if somebody was sitting next to me or directly behind me, ever.
Yeah. Well, let this be a warning. If you're in a theater with me, I will call you out for using your cell phone.
Yeah.
It's fucking rude. Watch it at home.
Please feel free to use your phones around me, but don't fucking talk or I'll kill you. I will literally kill you.
Yeah, I think my theater was having fun. There were some laughs.
Yeah, no, that was all me. I had a great time.
Yeah. I think this is also, I mean, to be clear, the book is YA. And so, like, I feel like some people were criticizing the movie because they were like, oh, it wasn't like horror. It wasn't like gory enough. It wasn't all these things. It's like, well, because it's for teenagers. Like, this is literally geared towards the audience of the book, which is young adults. So.
Yeah. And
honestly, though, the book kind of gorier than the movie was.
No. Well, two things about that. One, Adam Caesar is a teacher in a past life. He's not anymore. So he got a lot of inspiration from his students and wanted to put his students in the story. So it makes sense that that would churn out a YA novel. Mm-hmm. And then Eli Craig said that whenever he makes a movie, he only includes gore up to what his stomach can handle. And he has a pretty sensitive stomach.
Well, there you go.
That's about his limit, just so you know.
Yeah. I do think it's interesting that he's a teacher. Kind of funny, considering one of the clown killers is their teacher. But yeah. And it's more significant in the book.
Much. Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I was like, did you read it?
I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, that's... because they unmask him. So, like, the first clown that comes out and kills everybody in the book is there for much longer. Like, he causes much more damage. It's like a twist that there's more clowns after they think it's over. But they unmask him.
Halfway through the book, you find out. I mean.
Yeah, they unmask him, like, right after they kill him. And it's the teacher. He doesn't survive to the end, like, in the movie. So the teacher's, like, the first clown that they kill.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, there's four of them. He's working on the fourth book right now.
He is.
Andy said that Katie Douglas became Quinn in his mind, which he saw as a testament to her ability to act.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're definitely hoping on making more. And it seems like the perception is good enough that they could. But the adaptation of the first book was announced in 2020 before the novel was even released. The novel was released that August.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. But I did know he was working on the fourth. I only read the first one, so I can't speak to the sequels. But he did say in an interview about the fourth one that he toyed around with the idea of doing like a Dark Towers type of thing, because he's a big Stephen King fan. And that's basically the concept is almost alternate dimensions.
Oh, fun.
So the idea of fate and history repeating itself, like, with the same characters, but they're put into different situations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, slightly different. So he said he toyed with that idea for the fourth book. He didn't clarify if he actually went that route or if he just toyed with the idea. But he did say that he kind of felt like seeing the movie was like that.
Right.
Because it's not exactly the same. So it was kind of like, oh yeah, these are my characters, but they're put in this, like, completely different... not completely different, but a slightly different universe where,
yeah,
you know, things are a little bit different.
Interesting. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. He seemed generally very positive about the adaptation. And he even said that he's a big movie fan, so he doesn't really get too upset when the book and the movie aren't exactly the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, he talked about how he... felt a certain, like, that's their thing, this is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of wanted to give them ownership. And he did say that they were really, like, they involved him a lot in the early process, mm-hmm. which they weren't contracted. Like, they didn't have to do that. So that was cool. But he said he was most protective over Quinn, obviously, because she's, you know, the main character. And he said that people have told him that they've, like, named their kids after her. So he feels, like, some weird responsibility for her. And then also, mm-hmm. obviously, with Rust and Cole because of their relationship and how that's portrayed. So he feels the most protective over those three.
Sure, sure. Lots of follow-ups. One,
mm-hmm.
Eli Craig and Adam Caesar said that they worked really well together. Mm-hmm. They came together before production started with their thoughts and feelings on what would work and that sort of thing, like where he felt really protective about Quinn. And they both were extremely aligned. And Adam did love that the film was faithful to the book, but still felt like an Eli Craig film that really fulfilled his sort of like dream because he was a big fan of Eli growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then next follow-up. Incredible that this is one of very few movies, if not the first that we've watched, where the queer characters don't die. Not a single queer character is killed that we know of. I'm sure there's more of them. I'm sure that one of them was killed, but it's not a plot point that the queer character dies.
Yeah, they did not bury the gays.
Correct.
They live. They live in the book as well, if you're curious.
Wow. Spoiler. Yeah. Thanks.
You don't know that they're gay until the end, too. That's another difference.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really in this one either. It's definitely the rising, like, halfway. Action.
Yeah. It's like the climax where they realize. Yeah, it's not. Instead of the dad coming in and saving them, it's Rust. So he comes in and like saves Cole from being hung. And he cuts him down. And Quinn like walks over and she's like, oh, he's giving him CPR. And then she's like, oh, he's not giving him CPR.
Well, I mean, that is what happened in the movie. The dad did not save them. Rust came in and saves the day.
Yeah, I just mean the dad didn't help at all. The dad was being held captive the whole time. And he just walks out of the basement like, what's happening? So, oh my God, he doesn't. That was another, I think, I don't have like too many issues with the things that they did change. And I can go through everything at one point. But one of the things was like Quinn was also much more of a badass in the book, I feel.
Oh.
Like, she kind of just handles it at the end. And then Russ comes in last minute. Like,
you don't feel like she did that? And, I mean, she took care of the sheriff pretty well.
Yeah, but that's, like, the only... Like, she never gets captured in the book. She's her own person. She figures out how to use the stick shift and, like, gets herself over there. The dad doesn't help. She takes down, like, everybody in the warehouse. And then Russ comes in at the last minute to save Cole. To give her time to kill the rest of them. So then it's like, yeah, it's, I feel like she just had a bit more autonomy in the book. Or yeah, in the book.
Interesting. Well, yeah, it's funny that you say that because call back to our most recent episode. Adam Caesar said that Erin from Your Next is his favorite final girl.
Yeah, that checks
and
out.
And she's very much.
She handles shit.
She handles it. Yep.
Yeah.
She gets stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that inspiration in the book, I suppose, but not so much in the movie. And just
I think she like she's still a semi-decent, you know, final girl in the movie.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
a little bit stronger in the book, I feel like.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure. Just for fun, since we're talking about it, Eli Craig said his favorite final girl is Sydney Prescott. Mm. And he hopes that they get to have sort of that same strong character arc with Quinn and longevity of that character arc.
Nice.
Yeah. Eli Craig, certified Nepo baby. Like a big one, too.
You love Nepo babies.
I do. I like Sally Field fine.
Yeah.
That's his mom.
It is.
And his son is in the film. He put his 18-year-old son in the film. He gets killed.
Which one?
Don't know.
Oh,
I couldn't figure that out. but he does get killed off. And yeah, that's Sally Field's grandson.
Getting killed in the
getting
movie.
Killed. Yeah.
Very fun.
So fun.
She didn't get killed on set, but Adam Caesar went to visit the set with his daughter. So she was there too. But she's very young. Yeah. Well, she was very young at the time. And I guess he got to go on set for one day that they could make it work. So he requested that it was the day they shot the parade.
Fun.
Yeah. I don't think he was like on camera or anything, but he was there for the filming.
Cute.
Yeah.
I love that. The week before the film was released in theaters, I'm sad that I missed this one. I didn't even see it on social media or anything. They took a decked out like tour bus. Clown in a cornfield tour bus with Frendo in it to drive in theaters to do advanced screenings. And Frendo went and like scared all the audiences and stuff.
That's fun.
It's kind of fun. Yeah.
I knew that they did like marketing things with drive-ins to have them do early screenings, but I didn't know that they had a Frendo there. That's fun.
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Can't have a corn in a clown field without Frendo.
Also, this movie taught me I cannot type the word cornfield. I almost said clownfield again.
Oh.
Cornfield.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I usually do corn flied is how it comes out.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Anyways, back to the drive-in theaters thing. one more thing on that. They apparently, the theaters that participated offered unique movie posters during the screenings.
Oh.
And the Illustrations for the posters were done by Matt Ryan Tobin, who also does the book covers.
Oh, cute. I like that.
Yeah. So yeah, they kind of kept that 80s campy slasher feel that the books have for those posters too.
I love that. So cute. Mm-hmm. Get a hold of those now before these movies really take off.
Well, I don't know if you can now. Because they're...
I'm sure they're reselling on eBay already.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, buy them while they're cheap and resell them in a few years when it's a couple movies down the road.
That's true. When Clown in a Cornfield 4, the multiverse comes out, you're going to wish you had those posters.
Clown in a Cornfield in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
Number 10.
Clown X in space.
Oh, fuck. I'll never watch those movies. The Clown in a Cornfield ones, yes. The Friday the 13th ones, absolutely not.
Oh, no. I'm going to make you. Oof. You're watching Jason in space if it kills me.
Well, that one, okay. That one, yes. Manhattan, absolutely not.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
There's no point.
Yeah, you have to.
It's dumb.
You have to see him in Manhattan, Katie.
Why? Why? That's just Scream 5.
The shenanigans he can get into.
Oh, my God. I don't even remember the first one. Granted, I think I was drunk in Mexico watching it for the first time.
We watched it for the podcast. We talked
Friday the 13th?
Yes.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm getting him confused again. I got Jason confused. Nightmare on Elm Street. Friday the 13th is the one with the water Jason. And the camp. It's campy. It's a camp. No.
Jason X is campy.
I can imagine it would be.
Yeah. We haven't done Nightmare on Elm Street yet. That's actually kind of crazy.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. It's not even on the calendar.
No, I think it's because I knew you'd already seen it.
That's fair.
So I was like, oh.
Is it Johnny
Depp?
I'll
do all the ones you haven't seen. Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't need to. We can skip it.
Perfect. I'll make you watch the remake.
Is it good? Great.
Kyle Gallner's in it. So.
Don't know who that is. I probably do. I just don't know the name.
He played the goth kid in Jennifer's Body.
Oh, yeah.
And he was in Smile. In Smile 2. He's her cop friend who's then in the beginning, the opening scene of Smile 2.
The only thing I remember about that movie is the soundtrack. And the scene where they're all smiling and, like, going towards her. I think that actually traumatized me.
And when they're in her apartment?
Yeah, and they're all, like, smiling and, like, coming at her, you know?
Yeah, we talked about that in that episode. I thought that was so goofy.
Yeah, that one really bothered me.
Yeah.
I think
hey,
about
sometimes
that.
It hits.
Yeah,
sometimes all of a sudden you wake up in a cold sweat one night with a movie image in your head and you don't know why.
Yeah, that's the image.
Yeah, I'm sorry that happened to
Weird
you.
Weird enough. Yeah, that's definitely one of the scarier movies, I think, that we've seen. I don't even remember what I rated it, but in hindsight, it should be a little higher than whatever I rated it.
Okay. Yeah.
Supernatural, baby.
Doesn't get me.
Yeah.
This. Clowns in Cornfields. That's scary. No, I'm just kidding. This movie wasn't scary either.
No.
Not to give away, you know, but it's a vibe thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It did feel a little like home.
I bet it did. That's all I thought about the whole time. Like, wow, I wonder if Baby has ever, or I wonder if Cassie, Baby, whoever the fuck you are, has ever burned down a corn syrup factory.
I have
spare time.
No, I did not commit any arson as a teen.
Because what else is there for you to do as a teen in Iowa?
Yeah, no, it's just drinking. I have, like, gone to a party by a cornfield, but not really, like, because of that. It's just like, oh, someone's having a bonfire in the backyard and they happen to live next to a cornfield, you know?
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
As most people do in Iowa, probably.
Less than you'd think, you know? I didn't live by a cornfield, so. Yeah. It wasn't that rural where I was, but.
Okay. Speaking of, I mean, we talked about just a second ago. What did we talk about? I don't remember.
Who's to say?
People being afraid of things. Clowns. Lots of people are afraid of clowns. I don't know if this statistic is real or not, but I was listening to an interview. And they said that 44% of people in the United States are afraid of clowns. And only like 18% are afraid of dying.
Okay.
That's almost one in two people that are afraid of clowns. One of the two of us is statistically afraid of clowns. It's not me. Okay.
I think that, I mean, dying happens to everybody. Like, I don't consider dying a fear of mine. If I'm going to be scared of dying or, like, a clown coming at me in the middle of the night, I'm probably more scared of the clown coming at me.
Yeah.
Because what is he going to do to me before I die? That's what's scary.
Yeah.
Dying would be the reprieve from Frendo.
Sure. Sure. Terrorist attacks also was lower than clowns. I would be under the terror. I'm afraid of terrorist attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I hope they never get you.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say to that.
Domestic terrorism is really what I'm afraid of.
That's actually, yeah, in America, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's what I thought of when they said terrorist attacks. I was like, oh yeah, that happens all the time, every day. Every day, a terrorist attack. Domestic,
I think this movie's
terrorism.
Kind of terror-y attack-y.
Sort of.
It's a whole town killing children. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, you know, this movie had a political message, not very subtle political message.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very clearly MAGA versus progress. So, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which, again, in the book, it's like even less nuanced.
Yeah.
They literally, Quinn and her dad are joking, like laughing because they see a sign that says, "Make Kettle Springs Great Again."
Ew.
So it's like written out that exactly who these adults killing children are supposed to be.
Yeah. Eli Craig also said that Frendo was a great representation of sort of the American dream transforming over time. Because he starts, like, when he is created in the universe, he starts as this really happy-go-lucky guy. Obviously, he's just a clown for a corn syrup factory. And then he turns into this really vengeful creature that we see in the film. And that's a commentary on the American dream.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's what Caesar had to say about it, but that's what Eli had to say.
I feel like that's a fair interpretation of the story.
Sure. Also, speaking of the adults, Kevin Durand, who has the same, I'm not saying that they look the same, but he has the same, like, vibes and, like, parts as Michael Shannon. Did you know I was going to say Michael Shannon? Who the fuck did you think I was going to say?
I don't want to say it.
Well, say it, because you might be right, too. I'm correct, but are you also correct?
I was going to say Elon Musk.
What the fuck?
Look at Kevin Durand and tell me that he could not play Elon Musk in, like, a parody movie.
No.
Yes.
He doesn't look anything like... This man is kind of attractive, especially when he's blonde, which I know you don't like. I don't see it at all. Well, okay.
Yeah.
When he has a doofy face on.
People were literally memeing about that. That they're like, of course they chose the Elon Musk lookalike to play this guy.
That's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
But no, I don't see it at all. He's in something I really like. Is it Pearl Harbor or is that Michael Shannon? Michael Shannon's in it too. He's in something.
Yeah, he's been in things.
He's in Noah. I remember that movie.
I missed that one. I'm sorry.
It's not as good as Evan Almighty, I'll give you that much. As far as the Noah movies go, Evan Almighty is pretty good compared to Noah.
Good to know. Can't wait for your Noah's Ark movie rankings.
Well, it's just those two.
It's just those two. Fair. Yeah.
Eli Craig approached Kevin Durand, who plays the dad, obviously. We've been talking about him for 10 minutes and didn't tell you guys who he played. He plays the dad. And then Will Sasso, who plays the sheriff, Eli Craig approached them both directly and asked them to be in the film. Neither one had to audition, and they both accepted.
That's fun.
Yeah, so fun.
Love that. He knew exactly who he wanted.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I was thinking about casting?
Mm.
The kid who plays Cole. What's his name? Carson McCormick, very like 90s face vibe about him.
Sure.
I liked that. He looks like the kids in the 90s looked.
Yeah. Also knew he was gay from the get-go.
We don't stereotype you're gay.
Oh, no, sorry. I It's not stereotyping if I'm right.
That's, you know, that's actually true. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that, like, look is not a thing anymore. Like, everybody looks so 2020s these days, you know?
Yeah, iPad
people
kids,
are, like, 18 kids. Getting filler.
What?
Calm down. Filler, not whatever I almost just said. But you know what I mean? It's like that. Yeah, iPhone face. Yeah. And I feel like he could play like a heartthrob in the 90s. And I'd be like, yeah, that checks out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like Chad Michael Murray. Is that his name? Chad Michael Murray.
Yeah. Who? Oh, shit.
The guy from Princess Diaries. Is that
Chad Michael Murray? Oh, the brother or whatever?
No. Oh, yeah, him too. But no, yeah. No, the like first love, like her like love interest that turns out to be shitty, the popular guy, he's like quintessential
90s. Yeah, he's very quintessential 90s. But even if you go back to like late 80s, I feel like he gives off that like Christian Slater and Heathers vibe.
Yeah, okay, I've never seen that movie, but yes, I agree with you. I've seen the musical, it counts. The musical is better, I guarantee.
Don't piss me off tonight, okay? I'm not in the fucking mood.
What do you mean?
Nothing tops Winona Ryder in Heathers. That's like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Rhino Forever.
Back to the film.
Yeah.
Should I go through the differences in the book?
Sure, and then I don't have any more fun facts.
Okay, perfect so timing.
Rate it. Yeah.
All right, so a few differences in the book. It's not a tradition in the town. So, like, in the movie, they kind of say, oh, yeah, back in the 60s, we had to, you know, there were hippies. And then in the 90s again, and the opening scene is that happening in the 90s.
Yeah.
Not a thing. This is a one-time thing. They refer to it as, like, a blight on the crops, and they got to kill the kids. It's a colate.
Oh, God.
So, one-time thing. Not a tradition in the town.
Okay.
And then Janet... Asian in the book, which actually was like,
oh, Janet, got
the blonde.
The blonde, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually kind of significant. I was kind of confused why they race swapped her, because like the whole point is that she doesn't look like what Quinn thinks a popular Midwestern girl would look like. And then they just made her what a popular Midwestern girl looks like. Yeah. She's also much more likable in the book. Like way more likable.
I liked her.
Her and Quinn are like friends. They're not. She's like sassy, but she's not. Yeah. She's I don't know. She's more likable in like a, you see why Quinn would want to be friends with her way, rather than just like a funny side character way.
Sure.
Everybody else is white. Yeah. Normally, I don't really care if you cast, like, a person of color as a white person, but it kind of mattered in this context, because, like, that's the whole point, is that these are all white kids. Also, I think it's kind of crazy to make Tucker a black kid and then kill him first. I'm just saying. That was a crazy move on their part.
That was one of very few things that I read about the movie before going into it, was that every horror trope in the book is, like, not literally the book, every horror trope ever is part of the movie.
Yeah.
And so that was spoiled for me. I was like, okay, black kid's going to die first, annoyingly, because that's a trope.
Yeah, Tucker's white in the book.
Interesting.
He does die first, but he's not a black kid.
Yeah.
That was a crazy move. Ronnie and Matt. So Matt dies second in the movie. And then Ronnie is the other girl that's not Janet. But anyways, she gets like chainsawed in the field.
That was
they're like... the last of the kids to die, because they're in on it. They're helping the adults.
See, I thought that Cole was going to be helping the adults, and I was pissed.
Yeah, no. Cole is never helping the adults, but Ronnie and Matt are in on it. Their whole job was, like, to keep Matt safe so that they could take him back to the factory. So that was, like, a change. I kept waiting. When they, like, it showed the jack-in-the-box on Matt's bench, I was like, wait. What's happening? And then he gets decapitated. I was so confused. I was like, is it just going to be Ronnie? And then I was going to be even more mad, because then they cast a person of color as Ronnie and then have her just be the villain by herself. I was like, no, we can't do this too. But then she wasn't a part of it at all. And they cut that whole thing, which honestly, that part, fine. Like, it was kind of an interesting twist in the book, but it didn't make much sense. Like, why?
Sure.
Why are they helping them kill all their friends? I don't know. The whole, like, first clown killing them thing. Yeah, like I said earlier, that's more drug out. Like, you think it's just this one clown for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, shoots a bunch of people. He then locks them in the barn. He locks one door, leaves the other one open, and then sets it on fire. So all the kids are in there trying to get out of the locked door, because if they run out the open door, he just shoots them. So that's, like, a whole thing. And
Jesus.
Then, yeah, it's much more graphic. And then Rust and Quinn come and save them, which, by the way, Rust and Quinn, like, meet up earlier, and he gives her guns, so they're both armed and, like, fucking shooting clowns the rest of the movie.
Love that, love that. And it's not, like, a sparse bullet kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it kind of is. Like, he has a limited amount because he leaves the rest in the field. Also, Janet dies first. She's out of there.
Her death was great in the movie, though.
Her death was very funny in the movie, but her death was kind of meaningful in the book. Like, she's, like, bleeding out because she gets shot, and they, like, gather up weapons, and she's out in the corn, and she hears more clowns coming. So she, like, basically runs back in to tell them it's not over, there's more, like, run. And she, like, saves a bunch of people because she does that, and then she gets decapitated. Anyways, the opening scene in the book is Victoria's death. So you kind of get that backstory, which Victoria is Cole's little sister that died at the reservoir.
Sure.
So that's kind of interesting. Little backstory there. Cole's mom is also already dead. So it's just him and his dad, which kind of adds to it, because his dad just, like, blames him for everybody dying, even though the mom had cancer. So that doesn't really make sense, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then I already kind of talked about Quinn. She's a little bit more capable, kills a lot more people, and kind of, like, saves herself, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And also, her and her dad are, like, not, they don't have a contentious relationship at all. Like, she in her inner monologue is kind of, like, upset that she had to move, but she always gives her dad grace about it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really fight. And he always believes her. When she's like, no, the teacher was just, like, literally a dick. He's like, okay.
Well.
Yeah. And Cole and Quinn don't have a romance. They don't kiss. It's kind of, like, it's not, I guess it makes sense in the movie how they did it, of, like, he stops everything, and that's kind of, you know, leading into it. But in the book, he just, like, is nice to her, but doesn't add that nothing ever happens.
Sure.
And then it also ends with a cliffhanger. It kind of did in the movie, too, because, like, the dad obviously drives away, so they're leaving that open. But in the book, the last, like, the epilogue is him getting on a plane to Cuba.
Who's getting on a plane to Cuba?
The dad, Cole's dad.
Oh.
Yeah, he, like, because he leaves, like, he in the book or in the movie, he just drives away. But in the book, like, they set it up for sure of him escaping to Cuba. And, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, now you know.
And that's what you missed.
Yeah, I wish I had time to read it, but I've got quite the long TBR that I just added a book to right now.
Yeah, that's valid. You have a child as well, which takes up time.
Yeah. Well, I get 2 solid hours of reading time a day because I commute that
Oh,
long,
there you go.
And I listen to the books. I don't actually read
Honestly,
them.
You could probably finish it pretty quick. I read it in a day and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And that was reading, not listening.
How many hours do you think it is long?
I have no idea.
I'll tell you right now. It's only 9 hours. It's not too bad.
No.
I don't think I've listened to a single digit hours book.
There you go. And on 2x speed.
Yeah. That's like 3 days.
Easy.
Yeah, easy.
All right. You don't have any other fun facts?
No. I mean, it's a new movie, so we did our best.
Yeah. It's not a ton out there. I have one more fun fact.
Okay.
Just about the author, Adam Caesar. He announced that his newest book is going to be a novelization of The Toxic Avenger, which is coming out in theaters soon. So that's fun.
I'm just 0% interested in The Toxic Avenger, I tell you what.
Great. Well, it's not for you then, but if anybody is excited, that comes out in theaters in August, and I think the novelization comes out like a week later. So.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I like him fine. I like Adam Caesar. He seems like a really down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, Toxic Avenger doesn't do it for me.
That's fair.
Thank you. All right, let's read it.
Okay.
How scary did you think it was?
I give a 0.5. Yeah. Don't do that to me. It was like a vibe thing, though. You know what I mean? It was like a silly, campy, goofy vibe. So it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't super scary. What about you?
Yeah. I also gave it a 0.5. It wasn't scary at all. I think Eli did a little bit better job blending the horror elements with comedy. But it was still, you can't escape that this movie was a comedy.
How sexy did you think it was?
I also gave it a 0.5. I will say there are some like elements. And shout out to the queer storyline and not killing off any of the gays. That was nice. It's a slasher. There's lots of blood. That's usually good for something. But these are all high schoolers. So there's that.
Yeah, kind of kills the vibe a little bit.
Yeah, and all the adults were dicks. What'd you give it?
Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a 1.
Yeah.
And I gave it 0.5. For the one adult who wasn't a dick, Quinn's dad, he could get it. Yeah, I liked his fumbling, goofy vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. How fucked up did you... No. That's...
Yep.
That's your line.
Oh,
now.
I guess. Yeah. How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 1. I think the kills were, like, pretty mild, but I'll give them something. Like, they were fun kills, so I gave it a little point. I liked them... They lift them up in the air. That was fun.
Yeah. I liked the cattle prod in the throat.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
I also gave it a 1. It's nothing really that we haven't seen before. It's kind of fucked up that the town wants to kill off an entire generation. But as I said, it's Gen Z, so I get it. Also, Eli Craig said, and I said this already, but Eli Craig said that he has a weak stomach and only includes as much horror as he can handle himself. So he wasn't going for fucked up.
Yeah. Also, both him and... Adam Caesar said that they hoped that parents would go see this with their kids. So I think they were definitely pushing that YA aspect. And that's fine. Like, I think you need entry-level horror movies.
Yeah, for
sure. Like, how else are teens going to get into it?
Yeah, it's gateway. It's gateway.
Yeah, let gateway horror exist, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, overall, what did you think?
I did think this movie was a hoot. I disagree with Eli Craig's characterization that this is a horror forward movie. It's definitely comedy. and it's perfect as a comedy. So fun. Lots of laugh out loud moments. I think some of the scenes were like a little overacted and a few parts of the dialogue were pretty patchy, but I mean, that just adds to the character. So I can't complain too much. And this is gateway horror for sure. It's accessible. It's well casted. I do hope they make a sequel. I don't know how they'll pull it off, but I gave it a 4.
She liked it. She really liked it.
I did. I had a really fun time watching.
I feel like they can pull off a sequel just fine because there's 3 books, you know? There's already 2 sequels. Good. Well, if he's still writing a 4th, clearly they're selling.
I guess. I suppose.
I don't think you'd keep writing a series if it wasn't making it money.
Well, it's his passion project. He was a teacher.
He was a teacher until these books started selling well. He also used to write adult fiction. And then when Cornfield took off, he kind of switched into YA because that was doing better.
You? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of horror YA, to be clear.
He actually said that recently there is. It's been like an uptick in recent years that there's been more in that genre. So
interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Which is fun. I love that.
Yeah. All right. What did you give it?
I agree. I thought this movie was a blast. It was a lot of fun. It was very much a good harmony between that like 80s campy vibe and then that newer, you know, they obviously have cell phones and you're including that kind of modern take on it. So
yeah.
I liked that. I think the setting's really fun. Reminds me of... my youth growing up next to the cornfields. But yeah, it was a little bit cheesy, a little bit like, does the plot make perfect sense? No, but whatever. It's a slasher. Like, who cares that much? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So overall, I had a fun time with this. And I think I'm writing it like exactly what I gave the book because I thought both of them were fun, but just in different ways. So I gave it a 3.5.
Cute.
Yeah.
I liked it more than you.
You did.
Not a huge surprise, though. It's YA.
Are you a young adult?
Slut for YA.
So am I.
Yeah, honestly, you are. Yeah.
I did not like this. It's half a point.
Yeah. You didn't even write a book review for it in the Discord. Anyway.
I didn't because I didn't want...
to spoil. Got it.
Yeah, like I didn't want your impressions to be... You know, I'll post it now.
Yeah, I mean, books and movies are very different things, so it wouldn't have really spoiled anything. It would have been a surprise to me, in fact, that you rated it the same as the book.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. But I didn't know when you had seen it, so I didn't want to, like, post it right after I read it and give away that it's a slasher and not, like, a supernatural or something like that, you know?
So. I mean, I did tell you exactly when I saw it.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds like you're just making excuses.
What is this, jail? What? I just kept it to myself for now, but I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it.
Okay, all right.
Fine. She's yelling at me for not posting a book review. I reviewed it on my Storygraph, which you would know if you followed me on there.
I don't even have a Storygraph. I don't have the other one either. I don't have either of them.
That's your problem.
I should make a Storygraph because I'm actually reading books now.
Yeah, you should make a Storygraph.
Okay, I will.
And then be my friend on it.
Okay, send me your thing so I send me your
okay.
thing.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Would you survive?
I mean, so am I a teenager? Am I teenage me or am I adult me?
That's a good question. Because it's you now, but you're in the situation.
Yeah, so am I a high schooler?
Up to you.
Okay. I was insufferable as a high schooler, so I think I'm helping the adults.
You would help them?
I'm telling you, I was terrible in high school. I'm like the opposite person that I was then.
Yeah.
Not to say too much, but yeah. So if I'm a high schooler, I think I'm living because I'm with the adults. I'm helping them.
Well, because I would help the adults die. So.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Well, I guess this is the movie, not the book. So.
Yeah. Well, nobody in the movie.
None You'd end kids. Up in jail.
Yeah.
Or dead.
Yeah.
If you're on the front lines, probably dead.
Yeah.
If you're in the back lines, jail.
Yeah. There's a pretty significant body count of main characters. So I'm probably dead.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't wish to kill a clown either. It's not on my bucket list to participate in that. So I'm probably just like trying to run and then getting murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah, I think I die. I think I'm a teen that they're trying to cull. I'm a bad seed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see myself. I think it's just like a 50-50 luck of the draw, right? Like if I get shot, yeah. I get shot. If I don't, I don't. Like who's to really say?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so yeah, I think I'll say that I die because I don't think it's fair to just give myself the 50-50, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, we're dead.
We're dead.
Two different reasons, but dead all the same.
Friendo got us.
Oh, Friendo. What a stupid name. Also, the trailer.
Terrible.
The trailer had him talking.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he was talking in the trailer. He's like the voiceover.
Oh.
Yeah. He doesn't do that in the movie because it's just a clown voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a good way to like sort of bury the twist.
True. Yeah. Still going into it, probably expecting a supernatural clown guy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, do you want to predict next week's plot?
Yes, I do.
Next week, we're going to be watching The Ruins.
I thought it was The Ritual.
No, remember you told me that having two movies based on books doesn't count, so I can keep The Ruins.
Got it. Okay. So The Ruins, I know for a fact, because we just argued about this for like half an hour, I know for a fact it's not supernatural. What is it called? The Ruins or The Ritual?
The Ruins.
The Ruins. It's not supernatural, which just sucks because it really sounds like it's supernatural.
You can still pretend it is.
No. No. I want to be closer to right.
I don't think I said like it's definitely not.
Well, you wouldn't do Supernatural. You said you wanted to do Supernatural for the episode that comes out on June 3rd. Don't forget to watch on June 3rd. So you wouldn't do it two in a row. Okay, so The Ruins is it's a mummy movie. Duh.
Duh.
Duh. It's about an archaeologist who, I'm trying really hard not to describe either Indiana Jones or The Mummy.
Maybe it's the horror take on Indiana Jones.
No, yeah, kind of.
It's not. You're right. That was stupid. I can't believe I said that.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my God. It's an archaeologist, and he discovers that in some ruins there is the secret to eternal life.
Yeah.
And you have to get it. You have to steal it from a mummy. And so he does. He gets together a little ragtag team, and they go to the ruins. And unfortunately for him, there's another ragtag team of a little bit more, like, better trained people. Because he's an archaeologist. He's not like a recon man or something. But there's a recon man, probably played by Sean Bean, who comes and...
Is this just National Treasure?
Yeah. So he comes and they get it first.
Yeah.
But Sean Bean, being the man that he is, dies, sacrifices himself to save the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And they escape with the eternal life from the ruins.
Damn.
Yeah. And the horror part of it, I haven't explained it.
That's just National Treasure. Yeah. So I was waiting.
The horror part of it is the mummy. The mummy is,
of course.
Yeah, it's alive when they get down there. And it kills people by sucking out their souls.
Shit.
Yeah. It's like a vacuuming kind of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's quick. That's fun. It's not like a slow thing. It's like a real quick, like...
Suck. The suck is fast.
The suck is fast. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Cool. He's really good at it.
Yeah. He's a pro.
Yeah.
The suck.
Yeah. Pro sucker.
Pro sucker. Coming in hot.
Yeah.
Great. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Stars Nicolas Cage.
Sean Bean. That's fun. No...
Can I know anything about it?
You can know that the executive producer was Ben Stiller.
The
and
fuck?
That's it. That's all you get. Because that tells you nothing.
Ben Stiller?
Yeah.
He's a funny guy, and it's not a comedy.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm excited. Love Ben Stiller.
Yeah, me too. I said I was going to put it on the list this year because I read the book last year, so I'm excited to not remember the book at all.
Are you going to read it again real fast?
Probably not, because I have too much on my list right now.
What did you rate the book?
I don't remember. Let me look at my story graph.
I'll just go ahead and download that while we're talking about
it. I liked it. I liked the book.
Oh, good.
But if I'm remembering correctly, there were quite a few differences between the book and the movie. And it made me want to rewatch
the movie. Oh, so you've seen
the movie.
Got it. Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, how many movies have we talked about that I haven't seen?
Yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Clown
and why is that? Because I've seen them all.
Yeah, that is.
Unless it's our new movie of the month, I've probably already seen it.
Yeah. All right, I've got StoryGraph now. Everybody download StoryGraph, hashtag not sponsored.
I gave it, you can do 0.25 increments, so I gave it a 3.75.
Oh, I do love 0.25 increments.
It's great,
when
right?
You don't have to calculate.
We don't even do
averages.
That anymore, so we could
do whatever we wanted to.
We could, listen, it's our life, it's our podcast, we can do whatever we want. Anyways, I'm excited to talk about The Ruins.
Yeah, me too.
It is about ruins, you got that part right.
Okay. Is there an archaeologist involved?
Like, kind of, but not really. You'll see in, like, the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Okay. All right, good. Okay. Well, we'll see you then.
We're also, we will see you next week.
We're also going to tell you about all the fun movies being released in June, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Next week will be our last episode of May, so we'll tell you what's to come in June.
Exciting. June already.
That's actually kind of crazy.
Drop your story graphs in the comments.
Drop your story graphs so that we can add each other and we can all be reading buddies.
Yeah.
If not, drop your letterboxed and, you know, follow for follow. And oh, okay. I'll follow you on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Letterboxd. And then tell us what you thought of Cloud in the Cornfield. Tell us where you want to see Friendo next. And other than that, please like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Have a good rest of your week. I hope your Tuesday was fantastic, and I hope the rest of the week is even better.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
We will. Bye.
Bye.